Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, text 49. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sutta Uvacha Dharmyam Nyayam Sakarunam. Nirvyalikam Samam Mahat Raja Dharma Sutaragya Pratyananda Dvacho Dvija. Sutta Goswami said, O Brahmana, King Yudhisthira, fully supported the statements of the Queen, which were in accordance with the principles of religion and were justified, glorified, full of mercy and equity, and without duplicity. Purport, Maharaj Yudhisthira, who is the son of Dharmaraj or Yamaraj, fully supported the words of Queen Draupadi in asking Arjuna to release Ashwatthama. One should not tolerate the humiliation of a member of a great family. Arjuna and his family were indebted to the family of Dronacharya because of Arjuna's learning the military science from him. The ingratitude was shown to such a benevolent family, it would not be at all justified from the moral standpoint. The wife of Dronacharya, who is half the body of a great soul, must be treated with compassion, and she should not be put into grief because of her son's death. That is compassion. Such statements by Draupadi are without duplicity because action should be taken with full knowledge. The feeling of equality was there because Draupadi spoke of a personal experience. A barren woman cannot understand the grief of a mother. Draupadi was herself a mother, and therefore her calculation of the death of Kripa's grief was quite to the point. And it was glorious because she wanted to show proper respect to a great family. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksuran Murukam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripashindubhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greeting from the Bhakti Center, and in this Sangha I'm going to try to preserve my voice and not speak to my usual force. I give four classes today. I gave the Bhagavatam in the morning now. Then there's the Sunday Bhagavatam class at 11 o'clock. And then if any of you are in Brooklyn at Praying the Yoga between 4 and 6. And yesterday, you know, I kind of tried to let you know any inspirational things that I come across. Well, last Sunday after my class, we had the Prabhupada's Vyas Puja. Across the street from me, they set up a tent by Satyarup Maharaj's house. It's usually in the yoga hall above me. But we had wonderful to hear Satsrup Maharaj, who was there from the very, very beginning, and to hear Jayadvaita Swami, who was there from the very beginning, and Rabindra Sarup Prabhu and his wife, they're actually they're going to be my neighbors now. Somehow or other, that's what Krishna provided to them. They're 70 and they gave their whole life to Krishna, but they just depend on Krishna. They didn't really even have a place after they retired from at least being a temple president where they were staying. So that's so nice. They'll be staying next to me. But after the Vyas Puja, Ram Roy was also up there from the 24-hour kirtan, and he spoke so powerfully. We had a memorial for the lady who lived next to me but died. She was a living saint, very, very humble. And she's only up there. She was at the farm, Prabhupada's farm that he established for many years. In such a glorious way, taking care of the devotees, taking care of the cows and taking care of the deities. I mean, it was just worked so hard without any goal to be certainly didn't get anything materially from it. She had a very, very simple room. She didn't get any renown from it. She didn't get any disciples from it. So why did she do it? That's called pure devotional service. She did it without motive for her Guru Maharaj. And when you do that, even for a while, the reciprocation is incalculable. She was living next door to me, so I saw what two bouts of chemotherapy, how it ravages one, not only on the physical platform, but the emotional platform, the mental platform. I was actually concerned what situation she would leave the world in. So although it's so nice with all those senior devotees where I live, it's not like a vibrant spiritual community with deities and a temple, and the whole ordeal made her very, very uncharacteristically reclusive. So I was just wondering, even in my mind, you know, you sometimes question, well, I can't understand Krishna. This doesn't seem fair. Because if anyone deserves, I've seen people that were out of the movement for 35 years, and then a day before they leave, they come to Vrindavan. If anyone deserves, and she went to see if she could recuperate at her son's and her grandchildren live in California. But I thought she's really doesn't have much. And I went to see her before she left and even tried to, I think mentioned something about was to someone, maybe Vrindavan. But then, you know, a week before she died, she wanted to go to Gitanagari. And she was ready to go. And she went to Gitanagari and the whole community. And from all over the East Coast, people were just pouring in there to pay their respects to her. And even the deities, if you know the deities of Radha Damodar, they're the only major installed deities that actually come off of the altar. They go, and especially this time of the year, swing in the forest, and they like to go and swing on the forest. And they were brought into her room, but it's not that the deities can be brought anywhere. The deities go and bring their assistants. and the cows. Anyway, she passed in probably the most glorious way, which was just a testimony to the mercy and reciprocation of Prabhupada. And I've seen that again and again. And even when it doesn't appear that way, it's just something about Prabhupada's relationship with Krishna that if you somehow please him, and don't think that he can't see you, just like with the wives of the Brahmins, Krishna was aware. Krishna hears the hearts of devotees. He doesn't have to see them personally. And Prabhupada hears the hearts of devotees. He knows what's in the heart. He knows what's in the heart, and he just reciprocates. And what also becomes so apparent is what God is focused on is us getting love and some eternal consciousness. His mercy is not making us materially happy because it's superficial and temporary. So when we see that God puts us through pain or puts others through pain, we sometimes think, why isn't God being merciful? But God's real mercy is to give us a higher level of consciousness. That's his objective. So that's his mercy. And I see someone to do that, it puts people through hell. But it's worth it if you understand what you get. You can actually appreciate God, then the price is worth anything. Anyway, what was really wonderful is right in my place, above where my apartment is, and I have a beautiful downstairs apartment, the upstairs of this barn, is this yoga hall, not very much used now. Because Kaylee, she more like teaches outside. She just has a few private clients a few times a week. It's a beautiful space. We had a memorial right after probably the best Prabhupada Vyasa Puja feast you could ever taste. I challenge anyone anywhere. Really, really. The cooks that are there, Baladev Vidyabhushan and Mother Sudevi from Gitanagri, made the kachoris, and Madan Mohan's wife made the samosas, and Baladev Vidyabhushan's sweet rice is incomparable. It was just amazing. So after the feast, they all went upstairs. But not only that, other people started pouring in. People who were heads of yoga studios and may have seen in the area who may have seen her. And Radhanath Swami from his previous engagement came up, Gauravani. And then people started pouring out their hearts. I have the gift of gab, they say in English, and I can speak eloquently. But I didn't speak better than anyone else or even as good as everyone else. Even the simplest person was eloquent because it came so much from their realization of the hearts, of how she touched their hearts. And then I remember the saying that one is remembered more for how they made people feel than what they've accomplished. But what you've accomplished, can only be seen, can be seen in the life, but how you make people feel, that often is not so much, not so much expressed. Oh my God, even in that room, she's such a simple lady, Mother Kalini. But there were four couples that she personally married. There were probably 15, 20 children when she did the first grain ceremony. And it was just a beautiful thing to see that, you know, you don't have to be to serve Prabhupada's mission. You don't have to be have big accomplishments. You have to change people's hearts. Of course, that's also a symptom of someone who's done something substantial, that they, you know, they accomplish things, but the real test is how many people's hearts are changed. And especially, it's not that you always have to convert people that were not devotees to be a great whatever it is. You can serve and nourish all the people that have come. And you can't bluff Krishna. He knows what's in your heart. He knows your sincerity. And Krishna's a person. I love that Prabhupada says God doesn't have the defect of impersonality. He reciprocates. So, and Prabhupada reciprocates. And it's really a faith builder, you know. And anyway, people can die in many ways. It may not look glorious, but there's enough examples to let us know that Prabhupada's there. Sometimes he overtly makes it known, and sometimes it may seem someone dies in maybe obscurity, but we know from these examples that Prabhupada's mercy is unfathomable. I thought that was important enough to share. And now we're in the Bhagavatam, and we're in this very interesting section where the son of the Pandavas, Guru, commits this heinous crime and kills all their children. And then there's this quandrum of how to deal with him, because it's such a heinous crime. But the other hand, as mentioned here, the question of gratitude to a family, the question of compassion to the wife of your teacher who didn't do anything wrong, and how she would feel if now her son is, you know, killed. So it's complex. It's very complex. Answers are not always easy. And when there are dilemmas or when there are paradoxes, they only serve the purpose of making you go deep to understand the principle at hand deeper, because the answer lies on a deeper platform. It's just like Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna says to fight, and then he has to fight his relatives and honor your mother and father, thou shalt not kill, but now it's his duty. You know, these examples are, well, what is his duty? Well, you have to go deeper and deeper and deeper, and ultimately understand that the purpose of all duty is to bring us closer to God and see what brings us closer to God. And that's the ultimate principle of religion. Savai Pumso Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Aradoksaje Ahoita Kiyapratiyatai Atma Supersediti. The essence of all religion, Savai Pumso Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Aradoksaje, the essence of all religion is that which brings you closer to God. And that's why there's moral principles and there's social principles and everything. So that's the ultimate standard. And if a moral principle or a social principle doesn't serve that purpose, then it's not followed. I mean, or it is a higher moral principle, let's say that. So here, this dilemma, and now the mother of those children, Draupadi, who's such a great soul, she gives so many beautiful arguments on the basis of what is piety, on what, and mercifulness, and honesty, as here, she gives so many different reasons. And Yudhisthira, her husband, that those were his, one of them at least was his child, she had five husbands, also agrees that we can't humiliate a member of a great family, even though he committed these heinous things. And we have to have compassion upon his mother, who's the wife of our guru. So Yudhisthira agrees, but the argument will not end. Because there's five brothers, so they're all going to speak up. Well, Nakula and Sahadev, the younger brother of the king, they had the same father but different mothers. These are the sons of Madri. And Satyaki, Arjuna, the personality of Godhead, Krishna, son of Devaki, and the ladies and all others unanimously agreed with the king. So Nakula is famous for being very wise, and Sahadev is famous for being very, very learned. But Tatrahamarsito Bhimas Tasyasayan Vidasmita Nabartu Natmanas Charhe Yoham Suptan Shushum Brita. Bhima, however, disagreed with them and recommended killing this culprit who, in an angry mood, had murdered sleeping children for no purpose and for neither his nor his master's interest. So now one of the brothers, with a different personality, he objects. It's funny, you know, we tend to see the world through our natures, and we may have valid realizations through our own natures. But, and come up with different conclusions for the same solution. So they'll come up with different solutions and different ways of thinking that may be contradictory but may be right from a different perspective. But to resolve that takes a depth of understanding beyond people's perspectives. I see even in Krishna consciousness, you'll have arguments and someone will, sincere, not just fanatic, will be looking through it through a conservative lens. We can't neglect the tradition. And some person will be looking at something through a more liberal lens. We can't, you know, we have to reform the presentation of the tradition to make it understood. And, you know, both may be valid. And the solution has to come through a person who is beyond political views based on mode and upbringing, but goes deep into the Shastra to find the, who knows the principles and the application of them. You have to know the Shastra and you have to have realization of it and its application. And the application of Shastra means that you have to see the principles in a deeper way to apply them to new circumstances from the ones in which they were initially applied. Like, there's so many principles in the Bhagavatam, and they're valid, but they're spoken in the context of particular cultures. So you have to know the principles, but you need guidance to actually apply them. As Bhishma Dev, who's one of the Mahajans, told Yudhisthira, if you know three things, there's no cause for despondency, no matter how trying things get. And what are those three things? You have to surrender to God and understand his absolute and good nature. You have to know Shastra, but you must be guided. You must know Dharma, but you must be guided by the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins, so those principles can be applied appropriately in varied contexts. There are details and principles. Principles are things is, you know, you have to accept the guru. Details is how you worship the guru. Prabhupada had us do guru puja every day. That's unprecedented in the Gaudiya Math. So that's a detail, how you worship. But a principle is that you must worship. So Bhurijana is very, very thoughtful. He went to Prabhupada and said, how do you know the difference between a principle and a detail? Prabhupada said it takes intelligence. And therefore, we must surrender to authority, spiritual authority, that can see things beyond our own prejudices, which we see as truth and which we fight for as truth. So, Chaturbhuj, the forearm one of the personality of God, after hearing the words of Bhishma, Draupadi, and others, saw the face of his dear friend Arjuna. He began to speak as if smiling. Lord Sri Krishna had two arms. Why he's designated as forearms, explained by Sridhar Swami. Both Bhima and Draupadi held opposite views about killing Ashwatthama. Bhima wanted him to be immediately killed, where Draupadi wanted to save him. So, let me read on. We can imagine Bhima ready to kill while Draupadi is obstructing him. In order to prevent both of them, the Lord discovered another two arms. Originally, the primeval Lord Krishna displays only two arms, but in his Narayan feature, he exhibits four. In his Narayan feature, he resides with his devotees in the Vaikuntha planets, while in his original Sri Krishna feature, he resides in the Goloka planet, far above the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky. If need be, he can display hundreds of arms, as he exhibited in his Vishwarupa shown to Arjuna. Therefore, one who can display hundreds and thousands of arms can also manifest four whenever needed. When Arjuna was perplexed about what to do with Ashwatthama, Lord Krishna, as the very dear friend of Arjuna, voluntarily took up the matter just to make a solution, and he was smiling also. So God appears as he wants to appear, but he has an original form, which is his full manifestation, as that is Krishna. Because Krishna is God when he manifests his heart fully. We don't always manifest ourselves fully, nor is it appropriate. We may take a particular job or position, and the formality required covers our inner self. So that's not our full self. At home is our full self can manifest and people can know the full personality. So Krishna, he's the full manifestation. And therefore we say the original manifestation. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Brahma Bandur Sahantavya Atayi Vardana Ata Patatayi Varda Ardana Mayavo Vayam Atmanam Paripayanu Shasanam Kuru Patishrutam Satyam Yatat San Vayata Priyam Priyam Chabimashenasya Panchaya Mayam Evacha. Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna said, a friend of a Brahmin is not to be killed, but if he's an aggressor, he must be killed. All these rulings are in the scriptures. You should act accordingly. You have to fulfill your promise to your wife. You must also act to the satisfaction of Bhimasena and me. So, you have to reconcile apparent contradictions if they both come from authorities. Not that you take sides. You have to reconcile them. They both have to be followed, which means you have to understand them deeper. And in this sense, deeper is respecting him doesn't mean that he shouldn't be punished. It means how he should be punished because he committed something very heinous and wrong. So the respect and that principle, you must respect and honor the family. It's a superficial understanding if you think that means that the person is not corrected at all. And if he must be killed, thinks that it must be his body. And it's also a superficial understanding because to kill an aggressor has to also take into account who the aggressor is. It's not just indiscriminate. So Krishna is going to come up with the proper application of the principle is, yes, he should be killed, but he should also be respected, and therefore will take off the top of his hair, which had some very heavy significance. Arjuna was perplexed because Ashwatthama was to be killed as well as spared according to different scriptures cited by different persons. So Brahma Bandhu, a worthless son of a Brahmin, Ashwatthama is not to be killed, but he is at the same time an aggressor also. And according to the rulings of Manu, an aggressor, even though he is a Brahmin, and what to speak of an unworthy son of a Brahmin, is to be killed. Dronacharya was certainly a Brahmin in the true sense of the term, but because he stood in the battlefield, he was killed. Although Ashwatthama was an aggressor, he stood without any fighting weapons. The ruling is that an aggressor, when he is without weapons, cannot be killed. All these were certainly perplexities. Besides that, Arjuna had to keep the promise he made before Draupadi just to pacify her. And he also had to satisfy both Bhima and Krishna, who advised killing him. The dilemma was present before Arjuna, and the solution was awarded by Krishna. So I have to stop now because of all the classes that I'm giving today. But if there are any questions, I can answer. Or if anyone would please say hello, I will understand that someone's listening to the class.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Please accept our humble obeisances. Thank you for a nice class.
Thank you, Anjali and Kalachandri. Hare Krishna. I know you also were very close to Mother Kalini, so
yes.
It's nice to hear about her, and that's good. Thank you for being on. That's great. Anyone
Thank
else
you.
Like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
That's not the Dula?
Yes, Maharaj. You know, that was a very nice class, and then also glorification of Mother Kalini. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. This is Vaishnavi.
Vaishnavi, Hare Krishna. Good. Okay, your friend is coming to meet me on Monday. She did write.
Nice.
Okay. Anyway, great that you're on. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Malati.
Malati, okay, I got to get in touch with you, see how you're feeling. I'll do that privately, because you evidently are a little sick. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Who else would like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Hanan and Surit. Thank you for a nice class, Maharaj.
Nice to have you on. Thank you so much. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Arbo Maharaj is Shastra Das.
Shastra, okay. Great. We'll get together in India. We'll spend that quality time in Puri and Vrindavan. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Gautam Bhakta Das.
Hi, Bo. Hi. Good. Anybody else? It's nice to hear all the devotees. We know who part of the Sangha is. I know more than it's not obligatory, but anybody else? Okay, we can end for today. Hare Krishna. Why don't you go put the rookie status?